Almost did.
All right, so, boy, I feel like this service so far has been basically for me to build me up to get up here again. You're gonna hear more about that later, but the songs that were chosen. You can't, who chose the songs today? Are you, Melinda? My gosh, you know, it's like, we're in a battle. Man, are we in a battle? We are in a battle, wicked. And I feel it more and more every day.
And it's a spiritual battle.
It's a battle of principalities, right? And just to show you confirmation again, more precious than silver. Remember that. More precious than silver, okay? Lately, I've been dealing with a lot of people, and a lot of times lately, I've been hearing a lot about the economic situations going on right now. We're in a tough time economically. Inflation is high, and people are, you know, there's people that are really struggling. There's really a lot of struggle. And it costs, and the cost of everything just seems to be hitting people. And a lot of people are talking about finances. Like, what do I do? What do I do about that? And how do I protect my money? How do I protect my valuable items? How do I protect that? And so I'm going to ask you, like, what are some ways that you protect your valuable items in your money? Like, what do you do to protect your finances or something valuable? It could be silver. It could be something valuable in your life that you want to protect. Who has something they want to say about that?
Lockbox.
What's that?
Lockbox.
Lockbox. So you secure it.
Sure.
You secure it. You what?
Insure it.
So you want to protect it from something getting attacked, right? You want to make sure it's protected, right? So secure, protected. Okay, Rick, what do you got? Jared.
Firearms.
Again, protection, right? What do you got?
Give it away.
Oh, okay. Give it away. Which is the opposite of what we feel we should do a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
You give it away. Okay.
Diversify.
Oh, okay. Diversify. Anybody else? Joe, what do you got?
Give it to the Lord.
So when you give it to the Lord, what happens there when we give it to the Lord, right? We're listening to his instruction, right? We're guided by his instruction, right? That's giving it to the Lord, right? So if he says give it away, then we give it away. If he says diversify, then we diversify. So being led by the Lord is so important, right? Anybody else have any other thoughts on that? No.
Okay. Stop worrying about it. It's really not that important.
You stop worrying about it.
Yeah,
easier said than done. Okay. Yeah.
There's a scripture that talks about that too.
Yeah.
Well, if you bury it, you know, do nothing with it, protect it.
Right.
That's not really what I want you to do.
Right. Being buried is not really what we want to do with it either, right? Just kind of harbor it and hold it back from everything, from use, right? Because it was given to us to be used, right? We're stewards of money, right? We're stewards of money. Well, these are all good things, right? And it's not bad to try and protect our earnings, but and and to uh, and try to keep it where God wants us to be. He wants us to be good stewards of money and just really watch over our money the way that He wants us to, right? A lot of us, a lot of times, end up missing that boat. You know, we don't pray about things. We don't do things, and we make decisions based off of just wants and needs a lot of times, right? And it's good, though, to protect our money. So we want to do that. We want anything valuable in our lives, we want to protect that. But really, when I was praying about this and listening to these stories, I was really, and I've listened to a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians, telling me these stories. It kind of brought me back to the rich ruler, which is talked about in 3 of the 4 Gospels, right? So we're going to go to Matthew 19:16. And it says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, that good things shall what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" So we all want to have eternal life, right? He's asking, like, what do I need to do to get that eternal life? And so he said to him, "Why do you call me good?" Right? He called him good teacher. "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one." Who's one? God, right? That is God, right? "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Keep the commandments. He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I lack? What do I lack?" So I'm doing all these things, right? I'm keeping the commandments. What do I lack? Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And come follow me. So he's telling the rich ruler, give it all away. Give it all away. But then the young man heard that saying. He went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. So he wasn't willing to give up that for eternal life. And I was thinking and praying about this ruler. And the ruler really treasured his money and possessions more than he treasured Jesus. That's what he's saying at that moment. Right? Where was his treasure? His treasure was in money and possessions. More than Jesus. More than Jesus. More than Jesus. More than spending eternity with him in heaven. That is why he went away. He turned his back. And he went away. We don't find out later on if he came back to Jesus. It doesn't write that. We don't really know what happens to him in the future, if he changes his mind or anything. But at that moment, his priority was on possessions and money. And Jesus knew this, right? Knew that the ruler treasured his money and possessions above everything else, including himself. And that is why he called on him to give away his money, right? He doesn't call on everybody to give away your money. He called on him because he knew that that was where his treasure lied. That's where his treasure lied. His treasure was about money and possessions. And so Jesus, knowing this about him personally, told him, like, if you want to come into the kingdom of heaven, you got to give everything away. And he did not do that. Other people could be called out on other things that are treasured more than God. In our time period, it could be sports. It could be celebrities. It could be power. It could be popularity. It could be work. It could be pride. It could be lustful actions, collections of cars, family members, Netflix, phones, booze, smoking, music, doing good deeds. For doing good deeds above Jesus, without Jesus. Food, you get the idea, there's plenty to be focused on, isn't there? And we're putting our treasure in. Basically, anything we treasure more than Jesus, the question becomes, are we willing to give it up for him? Are we willing to give it up for him and for an eternity? If he calls on us to do so, are we willing to do that? I have a friend that when he was saved, the Lord put it on his heart to give away all his music albums, which were numerous, and he loved them. I would even say he worshipped them. And because they were an idol to him, and it would distract him from the Lord asked him to give them away. And he was obedient, even though he didn't want to give them away. It was another person that's just coming to me this week alone, told me that when they had never had TV in their house and they were raising kids, and then they were finished raising their kids, and then they took some in as foster kids. And when they took them in as foster kids, they bought a TV. And they were just watching TV together all the time. And that's all they did. Now before, with the other kids, they were outside playing and interacting and doing things all the time. Instead, they were watching TV. And one day, the Lord said to them, you gotta get rid of the TV. So they went down in the basement and he covered it up with a blanket and he told the young kids that he took in, smash the TV. And they did. They smashed the TV. That's obedience. That's recognizing when God is telling us, what are you putting above me? What are you putting above me? Most of us, if we are truly honest with ourselves, have something or some things we are struggling with in this fashion. We have something that we're putting above. We have something that the Lord has told us time and time again that we have to get rid of in order to be connected with Him better. And we struggle with that because we're human. I struggle with that. And Jesus realizes this. He said in that parable, if you want to be perfect, then. Those are important words. If you want to be perfect, then. Who is going to be perfect in this world? No one. And Jesus knows that. God knew that. He knows we will never be perfect. That's why He came to earth. That's why He died for our sins. That's why He was resurrected, to prove He was who He said He was. He changed the way of the world. He was the only perfect one. He knows we are and will not be perfect. But He desires that we treasure him more than anything else in the world. Relationship. He desires that from all of us. Above everything else, he has to be one. He knows we're not going to be perfect. But he has to be number one in our life. Matthew 6:19 says, can you see where this is going? Do you see more precious than silver? How that gets into this? Is that a coincidence? Is that a coincidence?
No.
And does that give me courage to stand up here and say what I'm saying?
Yes.
It does. And I needed it today. You're going to hear a little bit about that in a few minutes. But Matthew 6:19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. There your heart will also be. So if my treasure is in something other than Jesus, that's where my heart is. And we have a heart problem in this country right now. We have a big heart problem in this country right now. And I think, I sense from the Lord that if we could fix our heart issues, everything else gets corrected. And it starts with an individual heart, and it starts with a collective church heart. It's a heart issue because we're not giving it to Jesus. We're not putting him first. We're putting other people's thoughts, other people's ideas before Jesus' ideas first. And we're getting into trouble. And we're facing consequences because of that. This country is facing consequences because of that. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's the goal. Right? That's the goal. We have power, but we also suffer through the same way Christ did. It happens. But we have to treasure everything he's given us. We have to treasure Him for everything He's doing and has done. He has to be number one. Everything else on this earth is rubbish. It's rubbish. It changes fast. Everything changes fast in an instant. If we put our emphasis on something here, on computers, in an instant that can change like Friday, right? All of a sudden, air flights are done. All of a sudden, work becomes a little trickier. If our treasure is in that, then we are on false ground. We are on false ground. Our treasure has to be in Him. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, we are assured of them, embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. A heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Where is our treasure meant to lie? In the heavenly realms, right? That is our homeland. This is not our home. Thank God for that. There are times, there are a lot of times, where I am very pleased with how life is going on this earth. And it's beautiful when it's happening. I love that. And sometimes I say to myself, man, I never want to see this go away. But that is not the attitude I'm meant to have. My attitude is meant to think of heavenly realms, where when those times are happening, that will be happening 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Where I'm at peace. And life is good. And everything seems to be flowing the right way. And I have no fear. And I have no anxiety. And I have no worries. And I'm not angry. And all those things that come with living in this life at times when our emotions start going crazy. Because up there, everything will be perfect. And when a new earth is created, everything will be perfect because we'll be following one leader. Jesus. Amen to that. So the question becomes, are we protecting our treasure in Jesus? If we are, how are we protecting this valuable treasure? So I asked you earlier, how do you protect your money? And now I ask you, how do you protect your greatest treasure, Jesus? And He answers. Right back to Dan. Who has the, anybody has the,
Spend time with Him every day.
Spend time with Him every day. Spend time with Him every day. What else?
Pray on Him.
Pray. Pray.
Worship.
Worship. Worship. Worship has power. I felt change happening when we were worshiping. I wasn't looking for change. It happened. It happened. So worship it. Who else?
Be thankful.
Be thankful. Be thankful. So I was, you happen to catch a, here's an odd one for you. I happen to catch a little post, and it was Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga, I don't know exactly what she believes or doesn't believe, but she was saying that she believes in God, and she has chronic pain. She's plagued with chronic pain. And she was saying that she was grateful for her pain to God so that she could be the person that could help other people with chronic pain, to tell them that they can get through it with God. But she wanted to be led by God, and I was shocked. Now, this must have changed, must have happened recently, because what I've seen in the past did not look like that person. But it's amazing, right? And God can change people. And I pray that the God that she's talking about is Jesus Christ, right? But it's amazing. It's amazing. So being grateful, even in our turmoil, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. Anybody else?
Trust in the Lord and the power of His might.
Trust in the Lord and the power of His might. Trust in the Lord and the power of His might.
Praise Him through the storm.
Praise Him through the storm. Praise Him through the storm. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a second.
Being open-minded, maybe? Open-minded?
Open-minded towards?
Listening.
Yeah. Listening to His instruction, yes.
Having the freedom to be able to pray to Him in our nation.
Yeah, having, right.
In other countries, we can't.
Right, so in other countries, they can. We have the opportunity to pray, so we need to do that, right? Openly. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, go.
Read the Word.
Read the Word. Nate?
Surrender.
Surrender. Whew. Ever since I brought up that topic, man, I'm getting pounded.
Try to walk on earth as the Lord did.
Try to walk on earth as the Lord did, right? So striving to be better, right? If you want to be perfect, then you'll never get there. But we're still meant to strive for that. What else? Yeah. So I was just kind of going back and looking at. Are we securing, we use some words for money, right? Are we securing, if we're going to secure our relationship with Jesus, how does that happen?
Guard your heart and mind.
Guard your heart and your mind. You're securing it, right? You're securing it by what we put into our mind and into our heart, right? Beautiful. If we're protecting it, what are we doing when we protect it? How are we protecting our treasure of Jesus? Kind of the same idea there, right? Kind of the same thing there.
But
build a wall around it, right? Don't let other things infiltrate the wall. Protect it. Protect your asset, right? Diversify. How do we do that? By speaking the word. Right off the bat, as soon as I heard diversify, that's the first thing I thought. We need to tell more people. We need to diversify our ground troops. Right? We need to diversify our ground troops. Give it to the Lord is pretty obvious on that. How about giving it away? Same thing, right? Give it away. Don't hold on to the treasure that we have. It's meant to be given out. talking to other people, sharing that with other people, right? That's how we spread the treasure, right? It's not all for us to hoard. He's not only my treasure. He's everybody's treasure that wants to accept him. Anything else?
That's part of we're baptizing and discipling.
Baptizing and discipling. Right? We're called to baptize and disciple. Right? Stop worrying about it. Knowing he's secure, right? Stop worrying about it. How many of us have doubts? I'm not worthy to be up here. I'm going to tell you a little story right now in a minute. But stop worrying. You're worthy because he says you're worthy. And you're worthy because he's in us.
Amen.
That makes us worthy. So every time you think you're not worthy, you say, Christ is in me, and that's why I'm worthy. Not because I'm so good. Not because I can do this or I can't do this. We do it because he is worthy in us. And we have just let him express himself through us. And we give him the glory after that. Because it wasn't us. Right? Anything else? Alright. So, technically that's the end of my message. But the Lord really put something on me that I had to share. And it goes along with this. Treasuring Jesus and guarding your heart. And I don't think I was doing that for a little bit. Not enough. Not enough. I was going through some motions, but God was calling me to be deeper, and after reflecting on what I'm going to tell you, I recognized that I wasn't deep enough with that. So anybody see the movie Father Stu? Anybody see that? Father Stu? So Father Stu is a story about a guy who was not too nice of a guy. Mark Wahlberg actually stars in it. And a true story, based off a true story, and Father Stu was not a nice guy. And what happens is he gets, I can't remember if he gets hit by a car or something happens, and then he converts and becomes saved, and he becomes a priest in the Catholic faith. And the whole movie is about his change, but what happens in the movie, which really sticks out to me, is he ends up with a disease later on. And I think it's ALS, but I'm not 100% sure, so I'm gonna go with that. But it's a debilitating disease after he's gone through and became a priest and stuff. And then the church says, as he's declining in health, the church tells him that they don't want him up in front of people anymore because it doesn't look good for the optics of the church to have a priest who's struggling in front of him because God hasn't healed him. So it doesn't look good to the church. So they kind of pull him from his ministry. And I always thought how terrible that was. And I also thought that that people need to be real in order to minister to people. And that's what he was trying to do. And at the end, you see that he fights hard to get back to be a priest right before he dies. To kind of reclaim that type of thing. And it's a pretty amazing story, really. And there's a lot to take from it. But anyways, having said that, it's really important to me. When I first came and me and God were wrestling hard, he was saying, you're going to be a pastor. And I was like, I don't want to be a pastor. And he was like, well, you got to do it. You're putting you in place to be a pastor right now. And I was like, I'm not qualified to be a pastor at all. And he said, I know that. He says, and he said, but you gotta do it. And I said, well, the only way I can do it is if I'm real with people. And he said, I want you to be real with people. And so, having said that, this week has been very trying on me. It's been very trying on me. And everything, the enemy all week has said, you shouldn't be up there preaching right now. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't go see your daughter yesterday. A lot of things that the enemy was hitting me. And the Lord allowed that. And so I'm kind of going to try to summarize what's been going on here. So I've talked about my anxiety issues in the past, okay, a lot. And how God has really done some miraculous stuff through that. But every so often, I get hit. And I get hit hard. And it's the weirdest thing because I'm not afraid of like snakes and I'm not afraid of spiders and I'm not afraid to fly and I'm not afraid of any of that stuff. I'm not afraid to face people face to face. That's not the anxiety that I get. The anxiety I get comes out of absolutely nowhere. It just happens. And sometimes I'm walking with the Lord and I feel like I'm just blowing things by and pounding stuff down. Right? The enemy comes and I'm just like, poof. Get out of here, enemy. I'm on top of you. I'm on top of you. And then, all of a sudden, in an instant, you take your worst fear, whether it be snakes or spiders or anything like that, and cover yourself up in that without being able to move, and that's what I feel. For no reason. Or at least no apparent reason. And it's a scary place. It's a scary place. And so I do have a trigger that triggers this in me, and that's my stomach. And when my stomach causes problems, it automatically triggers this anxiety feeling. And so last weekend I missed the baptism because I had the stomach flu. And that set me off. And I was in a bad place. And I was praying to God all week long. And what we're saying up there is so true. I just kept saying, Jesus. And sometimes that's all we're saying is Jesus. Because I couldn't really think of anything else to say. And I was battling. I went to work. I was battling. Put on a smile. I was battling. All week long, battling. Me and God. God's carrying me. You got me, God. You carry me through this, God. But during that time, it hurts. And in my head, I'm starting to say, why, God? And I always feel like whenever things that we're going through in life, there's a reason that God is allowing that. And one thing that, I'll tell you a funny little part of this, is I ate like a glutton on that Friday night. I ate pizza like I'd never even eaten pizza in my whole life. And then I had mozzarella sticks on top of that, and I ate those like they were going out of style. And the next morning, I woke up, and my stomach was a mess. Now, I can eat, and usually I'm a happy camper when I eat. Even when I go to sleep, if it's late at night, it's mad. But that next day, I woke up and it was a rock. And I think one of the lessons that he was trying to tell me was that don't be a glutton. Like, this is your temple. And you're not paying attention to the temple I've given you. You've gotten too comfortable with your temple. And you're not paying attention to it. And you need to pay attention a little bit more. So the enemy's attacking me and it's saying, don't go to work. Yesterday we had plans to go see Audrey, drop off some stuff. Don't go to see Audrey. Remember I told you I was strong, pushing the enemy away. Lord's on my side, I'm walking in strength. Next thing you know, I'm sucking my thumb and I'm curled up in a ball on the couch saying, God protect me. I don't know what's going on, but protect me. I'm crying out to God. And that's the reality. So I'm not here ever going to say that just because I'm a preacher and I'm standing up in front of you and God called me that, I don't have my struggles. I have struggles. And they're bad sometimes. And so the enemy says, don't go to see your daughter yesterday. And I have just gotten in the habit of saying, Lord, do you want me to go see my daughter? And he says yes, then I'm going. If the Lord says you're going to work, then I'm going. It doesn't matter what's going on up in here. What matters is what's going on in here. And I'm crying out to God to get me through everything. And it wasn't an easy day. It was an exhausting day yesterday. And while the girls were shopping, I was out in Target and the mall, and I was just praying all day long. Praying. All day. What do you want from me, Lord? What am I to learn from this struggle? And he said, you're working on a message about treasuring me. And you're not even treasuring me the way I want. You're working on a message about treasuring me. And I'm struggling to do that because I am comfortable. When I get strong, I get comfortable. And I pursue joy. And I pursue comfort over God. And that's a bad place to be. It's a bad place to be. Nothing can be over God. And God allows me to go through an uncomfortable time to open my eyes. And just like Lady Gaga, even though I'm hurting and I'm miserable, yesterday I was thanking him for just the life he's given me so far. He brought me out of misery before, and I know he'll bring me out again. What's this song? I was coming home yesterday. We were coming home from Audrey's, and that song came on by Jelly Roll. Kyle likes country music. I'm not a big country music person, but it's kind of growing on me a little bit. Anyway, Jelly Roll, it was like, I'm not okay. I'm not okay right now, but I'm going to be all right, or something like that. Right? Is that how it goes? I am not okay, but I'm going to be all right. And those type of things that the Lord kind of puts in our heads helps you to realize, like, this is only, it's only an instant. Everything's going to be okay. And the funny thing is I was sitting on a couch at Audrey's house last night, and we were visiting, and that alone filled my heart. I miss my kids. I miss my kids a lot. I miss my kids. And
you're not alone.
I know.
You're not alone.
Anyways. I was sitting there, and she had told me something about Nathan's foot. He had a problem with his foot. And I was thinking I should have bought some tape, and I could have taped up his foot. I didn't buy tape, and I forgot about it because I was just too wrapped up in my own stuff. And anyway, she says, I have tape. And there was something strange happened during that taping. I was taping his foot, and at the end of that taping, I felt something leave. And all of a sudden, peace came over me. And I have no idea why the taping kind of triggered that or not. But the Lord at that moment did something. And it was important. And I think it really, when I was praying about it last night, I was saying, like, what is this? I mean, it's always about service for me. The Lord calls me to service. I'm at peace when I'm serving. And he, I think he was just showing me that when you serve, that's where you're meant to be. And so there's lessons in everything, right? And the Lord was telling me, don't go to church, don't preach today. But he brought me here to bring the message about treasure room. He used that testimony to really show you that even as elders, pastors, whatever you want to call us, that we fail to. And we're always trying to be better. We have our struggles. But it's really about putting our treasure in the right place. And so it's just a reminder. Like God will remind us. And sometimes it hurts to be reminded. Sometimes there's some pruning that goes on. And it happens.
Last night we bowed in the foot of God. Because what you do for the least is what you do for the church.
Yeah. Yeah, what you do for the least is.
Yes.
Yeah. So dear Lord, I lift up every individual here. We're all plagued with stuff. We're all plagued with stuff. Our hearts hurt. We take on more than we should. It's in your hands. It's in your hands, Lord. Give us the strength to keep pursuing you more than everything else. You are our treasure, Jesus. You are our treasure. You are our number one treasure. Help us to keep that treasure. All that we're baptized, you're fired up right now, but things are going to come at you. But don't lose sight of that treasure. Because he'll get you through it. It may not feel like it right now. But he will get us through it. And at the end, when everything is said and done, we have an eternal treasure. Nothing on this earth can beat an eternal treasure. Keep our eyes fixed on that. In your name, amen.
Strange this morning, I was thinking, I knew we were kind of going to have a small group today.